All right, so this year is going to be on Sphere's Omer, and we're going to focus on Log Bomer as well. So don't get afraid as usual. We have a bunch of different sheets in front of us. We're only going to look at snippets from each of them. Okay, two to three housekeeping things before we start. Number one, this time the food was sponsored by the Pollock family in memory of Cecilia Reiser, Sess, Cyril Bas Akiva. In the exclusive of her neshama having an aliyah. In the future, if anyone wants to sponsor breakfast for the shiur, the budget I use is usually around $30 to get all this stuff together, sometimes a little under. So if you want to sponsor a future shiur, it's a very minimal amount. Just, message, email me, message me, and I'll take care of it. About to. It's cheaper than SEMA Shas. Cheaper than APAC also. But comparing APAC with SEMA Shas is another discussion. I have my thoughts on it. Another thing, sorry, that's future sponsorships. And one other thing, after the shiur, if you have any ideas of, we go by holiday, right? So we try to get in a shiur before each major holiday. We'll probably do one before Shavuos. I thought one for Sphere would be a good idea. So if you have ideas, if you want to flip over to Hari Kedem, or you have ideas of topics that interest you, or if there's a better way we could go about doing this year, I'm open to feedback. Just come to me when we're done, and I'm happy to schmooze about it. And if you're running out, then email me, happy to discuss. Okay, so those were a few housekeeping things, and now we shall begin. So hopefully you get a chance to acquaint yourself with the sheet. We're going to look at one small piece at the beginning in Siman Kuf Yud, which is on the question of Shemaya Ka'ona. So just to familiarize ourselves with the general principle of Shemaya Ka'ona, you may be familiar, let's say, here's a great example. Kiddush, Friday night, Shabbos morning, the rabbi or whoever's in charge, who's the head of the household, will get up, they'll make Kiddush, they'll say Borei Priya Gafen, or maybe Marissa might make the Borei Priya Gafen in some cases, or Hamotzi, and you're listening, but you don't say the bracha. So if you're not saying the bracha, how can you eat the bread? How can you drink the grape juice? So the answer is Shemaya Ka'ona, that when you listen to someone make that bracha, and they have in mind to be motzi you, they have in mind to include you in that bracha, and you have in mind to be included with them, it's considered that you said that bracha, and you fulfilled your obligation for all intents and purposes. There's a question that comes up for Sfiras HaOmer. If I could be motzi somebody for Kiddush with Shemaya Ka'ona, can I be motzi them? I'll say the bracha and I'll count the omer and they'll listen. Like, let's say Rabbi Weissman gets up there, he makes the bracha, he counts the omer, he gives his whole unconditional counting spiel beforehand, and you listen in. Could you be yotze with Rabbi Weissman? Or do you need to make the blessing and the counting all on your own? What would you say?
You need to understand that, unlike every other mitzvah, you actually have to understand what you're saying, so therefore, no.
So when it comes to Sfiras Omer, it's not enough just to say something, you need to actually
Do something.
understand. What?
Not just say something, do something.
Ah, okay, very good. So Rav Soloveitchik is going to go down a very similar route to that. Can anyone give a svara, give an idea, one way or the other? Why would Shemaya Ka'ona work for Sfiras Omer, or why would it not work?
Shemaya Ka'ona might not work because it's not a mitzvah that requires shmiah, it's one that requires you to count.
It requires counting. So now, should counting be any different than making a bracha like Al Borei Pri HaGafen?
Yes, because you have to understand what day. If you say
right
day and it's the sixth day,
ah,
it probably would not work.
Then it would not work. Okay, good. So I want to give one quick intro before we go. Resolve is going to go down that route. I was reading Hegyoni Halacha is another really great recent book that he summarizes Sugyos. So he has a great piece on Shemaya Ka'ona also on Sfiras Omer, and he brings up this machlokis when it comes to Chazaras Hashatz. So when the Chaz is repeating Chazaras Hashatz, let's say you're middle Shemona Esrei, either you came late to Davnik or you have a lot of Kavana, and you're still middle Shemona Esrei, the Chazan is up to Kedusha. So does a machlokas rishonim? Do you stop what you're doing? Do you stop what you're doing? You listen to the chazan say kedusha, and you're yotze with him. And when he's done with kedusha, you go back to whatever bracha you're up to in Shemot Esrei. Some rishonim say yes. Some rishonim say no. And the basis of this machlokus, he says, is a chakira. It's a dichotomy in how to understand what shomea kona is, how the mechanics function. Is shomea kona that when someone says the bracha, I'm able to tag along with him? It's not like I said the bracha myself. I'm just able to tag along by listening to him say it. Or the shomea kona mean that when he says the bracha and I listen in, it's as if I'm saying the bracha also. It's no different than if I were to speak the bracha from my mouth and not listening to him. I am saying the bracha when I'm listening to him. So if it's like I'm really saying the bracha, I can't just stop in middle Shemot Esrei and listen to Kedusha, because then that's a hefsek in my Shemot Esrei. That's a hefsek in my private, my personal Shemot Esrei. But so that's a school of thought of Rishon would say that you can't, that you should not stop to listen to Kedusha during Shemot Esrei. According to the other school of thought that says you should stop to listen, it's because you're not really saying it. You're listening and you're being yotzei. You're fulfilling your obligation by listening to the chazan say Kedusha. So then it's not a hefsek for Shemot Esrei. So he brought that up in the context of Sfira Sa'omer as well. The question is it considered like you're actually saying it, or are you just being yotzei? So if it's like you're actually saying Sfira Sa'omer, there might be more grounds to say that when you listen to the chazan say Sfira Sa'omer, count Sfira Sa'omer, maybe there's more of a chance you'll be yotzei. The thing is, Rav Soloveitchik does not go down that route. It's important to note that there's that the counting of Sfira Sa'omer is incumbent upon every individual. When it comes to counting for Shvius, for Yovel, that's incumbent upon based on the count the 7 years. When it comes to counting Sfira, that's incumbent upon every individual.
Both male and female?
Both, no. It's, I think there actually is an opinion. If I'm not mistaken, it's the Ramban that says a woman would be chayv as well. But the basic understanding is a woman are not chayv because the mitzvah is ma'agrama. And there's a machlok, just tangentially because you bring it up, there's a machlok is if woman should count with a bracha, because let's say a woman starts counting with a bracha, and then she loses track in middle, she forgets one night. So according to some opinions, that means if the entire thing is one big mitzvah, like the Bahag says, then nimsa, all the woman's countings and blessings beforehand were livatala, they were all in vain. Now the same thing can happen for a man. According to that opinion, a man runs the same risk of forgetting Sfira Sa'omer, forgetting to count one night, and then not being yotzei. And then all of his brachas becoming levatella. However, a man is obligated to do the mitzvah, so he has no choice. He has to put himself into that situation of risk. But if a woman who's not obligated to begin with, she shouldn't count, according to some, she shouldn't count with a bracha, because why should she risk making all those brachos levatella if she doesn't have to? So that just speaks to your point over there. But I'm pretty certain, so there is a Ramban that holds that women are chayv actually in Sfira Sa'omer.
That would be consistent with, like, then once she's already putting herself into that predicament.
Oh, then you're right. So then she would have to make a bracha, of course. There's an idea because Sfira might not be categorized as a Mitzvah Shezman Grumma. It depends how you define Mitzvah Shezman Grumma, and that's a whole shear in and of itself. But there is such an opinion out there. Let's take a look at Rav Soloveitchik now. Let's look in Siman Kuf Yud, it's at the beginning, in the second paragraph with the underline. Amnam nir lahayir bezeh. The ain shayach klal haklal de shmeya kona b'sfira sa'omer. Shmeya kona has nothing to do with sfira sa'omer. It cannot apply here. Why? So the reason it can't apply here is the lechora shemeya kona shaych rak hecha deishtin amira o kriya vania kebrachos vahalo. Shemeya kona only makes sense when you have to say something, you have to do an amira, o kriya, or you're reading something, vania, or answering, such as when you're making brachos like kiddush or saying kriyas halel. However, the bezeh shaych haklal shemeya kona, there it makes sense. Avol sfira sa'omer, eino din shel amira, ela shel maisa sfira. Sfira sa'omer is not an amira. It's not that you just have to say words like you're saying the words of Kiddush. Rather, it's a sfira. It's a mitzvah specifically to count that happens to also be used through your mouth. You explicate it. Words come out of your mouth. But the mitzvah conceptually is sfira, is counting, not amira, speaking. How could shomea ka'ona work here? So what Rav Soloveitchik is going to say is that when it comes to amira, when it comes to that, you have to say a bracha, you don't have to necessarily understand it. So this gets to your point. I think he's going to address that as well. Rael is so zemimasha kasa moginara. The sphere is omer. Imsivir berloshon she'edo maven. Let's say you count sphere is omer in German, you count in Russian, and you don't understand those languages. Or even, then lo yatsa. Vafilim sivir berloshon akodesh. Even if you count it in Hebrew. And this is actually interesting because this is usually not the case. Usually we assume, hey, you know, I might not understand Kriya Shema, but as long as I read it in Hebrew, I'm yotze my obligation, right? When it comes to Sfiras Omer, if you don't understand what you're saying, this is your point, then you have not been yotze the mitzvah. Because it's not a mitzvah namira, it's not a mitzvah of I have to say something, it's a mitzvah in counting. So therefore, Shema Koda can't work here. Shema Koda is, if Rabbi Weissman makes the bracha and counts, it's like, when I listen to him, it's like I'm speaking also. But that's not enough. Your obligation is not to speak. Your obligation is to count. And you have to be the one counting. Shemiah Kodah does not apply to when it comes to counting. And moreover, you have to actually understand what you're saying as well. So if you don't understand what 22 is in Hebrew, look at the English, understand what you're counting, and then read it. You can read it back into Hebrew. But if you don't understand it, you're not yotzei your mitzvah, because it's not about amira, it's about sfira. Therefore, you can't listen to someone else make the bracha and the counting for you. There is actually some discussion about, can you be yotzei with the bracha, not the counting? I know I'm conflating them together. So perhaps brachas might be more lenient, but definitely for the counting, you'll not be yotzei your mitzvah according to Rav Soloveitchik.
So, trivia, what other mitzvah is the only other mitzvah that has the same application to?
Okay.
So before on Rosh Hashanah, by Hataris Nadar. There are people who say that if you don't understand what you're saying when you're being matzer nezer, you are not yotze. Why? The same rationale. If you don't understand what you're saying, that's sort of completely opposite, and then you're really not accomplishing.
Right, because there's no.
You're not being matzer nezer.
There's no chiv to just all of a sudden say these words. This is just the formulation. Right, that's a good point. There are definitely things that you need to understand in order to be yotze. It's not like it's not like davening, where you just have to say this formula.
Even when you take an esrog or when you take matzah, there's no other mitzvah that you actually need to know what you're saying.
Okay.
It's not Sfiras
Omer. Well, yeah, definitely Sfiras Omer is one of those examples. Okay, so that's the end of this small little piece over here.
Well, since we have your wife here, do you count?
We'll put her on the spot.
This year I was at Moshe's family for the Seder, and they didn't count the Omer at the Seder, so I forgot, and I just gave up. But usually I do.
Oh, we counted probably at Shul, because we waited until Tseis.
I know. But I usually do count with the bracha.
So you wanted to make sure you were knocked out of the park on the first night.
But at the Young Israel we davened in Bayswater, they don't have a women's section set up during the evening, okay. So there's no chance there. It's not like Plainview. Okay, let's move on to another piece. It's the next Simon, Simon Kufyud Aleph. We're going to deal with a bunch of questions here. Number one, let's jump right into it. There is a comparison, if you look at the Beis Shmuel on the Shulchan Aruch, if you look at this commentary here, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Ramah, that when you write a get, vayichto beget, b'shanim minyan hamaruba kodem, avol b'yamim yichtov minyan hamua kodem, meaning, like when we count, we say echad ve'esrim yom, we say one, we say the first digit column, and then we say the tens digit column. Is that what you call it in mathematics? It's been a while since I watched Cyber Chase. So you count the smaller number, the minyan hamuad first, and then you count the bigger number afterwards. And so the comparison that's made here is not just in Gittin, when you write a divorce document, do you write it in that way, but all of a sudden, he throws in v'chein hu b'sfiras ha'omer. It's the same halacha as sfiras ha'omer. Now, you might be thinking, ma'anyin get etzel sfiras ha'omer. Gittin and Sfir Somer are like two completely separate areas of halacha. One is marital documents, and the other one is counting the Omer, which is more like dates. It's more about like holidays and times of year. What do they have to do with each other? Why is there a comparison between Gittin, the way Gittin are written when you write the date on a get, versus how you speak out the date when you count Sfir Somer? So that's his question. Lechora. Near Delo Dummy Sphere Somer, the Get Klal. So this next paragraph, he's just asking a question. He fleshes out. They have nothing to do with each other. So go to the next paragraph. And we're going to get another Chakira, another dichotomy in how to understand what we're doing when we count Sphira. It's the paragraph starts with Yitachein. There's an Aleph and a circle over there on page Reish Lamed Tes. So what's the Svar over here? The svar that's being suggested here is that, and this is going to get back to the classic Brisker terminology, that Sfir Somer is not a chefsa shel mitzvah. Lisbor limnos es hashidai v'toseva sheben yom lechaverim. What's the mitzvah of Sfir Somer? Sfir Somer is not about counting the days that passed. El hu mechuyev lahaskir b'chol yom v'yoma minyano mamaninu lohomer. V'mamash kizman hagev ashtar. V'shapar ochiach Beishmo Misfiras Omer Leget Dein Tzarch El Tarech Greda Vlo Minyan Usfira. So when you write a get, you're writing down a date. You're writing down a tarech. Similarly, when it comes to Sfirasa Omer, you're also just saying the date. Today is day one. Today is day two. Today is day three, etc., etc. So the comparison that's being made here, in this opinion, this school of thought, is that the similarity between a get and Sfir Somer is that just like in a get, you have to write down the day that it's being written and being given. Similarly, when it comes to Sfir Somer, you're saying the date. Today is the 22nd day, today is the 23rd, today is the 24th, etc., etc. However, Rasal Vichik thinks otherwise. Ach b'pshuta near Kamosha Kasu de Iker Ha Mitzvah Limnos Ulispor Yama Ushvuos. The mitzvah is not to mention a date, but it's a mitzvah of sphere, it's a mitzvah of counting. The Esashinoi Shabain Yom Lechavir, and what's important is Dikar Mitzvah Hu Limnos Ulispor Yam Ushvuos, your mitzvah is to count the days and weeks, and the Esashinoi Shabain Yom Lechavir, to mention the difference between this day and the next day. Zizahu Ikur Haminyan. So what he says is, the mitzvah of Sfir Somer is not like what's being assumed, that there's an equivalency between get, between Sfir Somer. Our mitzvah is not to mention the date. Our mitzvah is to mention how many days have passed. And to mention that, oh, one more day has passed since yesterday. Which is different than a get. A get, it doesn't matter what was yesterday, what's the day afterwards. A get is all about what is the day right now, just write in the date, and that is it. Sfir Somer is about telling us what day and week we're up to in contrast to all the other days, and telling us how much we've counted until now. Now, l'may nafkamina, what's the difference here? So the difference is a classic question that we get. Let's say today was the 13th of the Omer. Right? And, or like, let's say it was the evening right now, and it was the 13th, and I didn't count yet, and you ask me, oh, what day is it? I just blurt out, it's the 13th day of the Omer. Oh, wow, I just counted the 13th, didn't I? So, can I count it again with a bracha? Did I already fulfill my counting when I told you it was the 13th day of the Omer? So this is a classic question that I'm sure many of us have accidentally encounter at some point, or have seen someone accidentally do at some point. I've definitely done it. And the question that's raised is, wait, so now Maariv is over, and Seisak Uchavim's here, and I'm definitely ready to count. Can I repeat the day and week with a bracha? The rabbi's conditional. But you didn't say, you just said it right there.
But you specifically chose a number that would also have a week and days. So I don't think saying the 13th would count as counting, because you didn't say 1 week and 6 days, for instance.
Ah, so this is an interesting point that we're going to get to soon, because the question is it one mitzvah to count the days and the weeks, or are they two separate mitzvahs? We're going to see, hopefully, the Beis Halevi believes, based on Rabbeinu Yerucham, that There's a mitzvah to count the days, and there's a mitzvah to count the weeks. Similar to how there's a mitzvah of tefillin, but there's two separate mitzvahs in there. It's a shel rosh and a shel yad. So I could wear one without the other. There are two separate mitzvahs that aren't toleh zeh bezeh. So similarly, there's an opinion that even that the days and weeks are separate mitzvahs. I may fulfill my mitzvah saying that day already. So here's what Rasalvechik says. Uchshebaha davar lifnei rabbeinu. So we're in section Beis right now. Second paragraph where I drew an arrow pointing to it. Uchshebaha davar lifnei rabbeinu zecher tzadik lebracha. Amar delav sfira hi klal. Rasalvechik said that when he got this question, this is not sfira at all. This did not count. You don't have to worry. And then there's some stuff in Yiddish that I'm not going to break my teeth over trying to pronounce. Ukmokein hayom hasheni shel sfirsa omer hu lo shnei yamim. Saying that this is the second day in Yomer is not the same as saying this is shnei yamim ba omer. Ukmokein lo havi sfira. Why is that so? So here's the logic behind it. Fabir hu de sfirsa omer eino lahaskir es hayom vehazman shu omebo. The mitzvah of sfirsa omer is not to mention the day and time that we are currently in. Ella hachiyuv lispor es minyan hayamim sha'avru. Rather, the mitzvah is to count the amount of days that have passed. You say 13 days have passed, 14 days have passed. It's not about counting a tarech. It's not about counting a date like the get. He's saying, unlike the first school of thought that we just learned, it's not about counting a date. It's about counting how many days have passed. So if you just say today's the 13th day of the Omer, you've not been Yotzei. The idea is that you're saying this is so-and-so days and so-and-so weeks of the Omer, and this is how much has passed. So Rasalvechik says if you accidentally tell someone what day of the Omer it is, you're just telling them a date when you say it. You're not having in mind to do a sfira, to do a counting of the Omer. And therefore, you weren't Yotzei by doing that. Which could be a chumrah, because b'diavad, if you forget to count later, according to Salvechik, that wouldn't help you. So this isn't just a leniency to be able to keep counting. This is also, he doesn't say it, but I would imagine it's a chumrah, that if you actually tell somebody the date, and you forget to count later, you have not fulfilled your obligation to sfiras omer by telling somebody that. So that's an interesting point that comes out from here. And it's consistent with him saying that this has nothing to do with gittin. Gittin, you write a date. So sfiras omer, we're counting how many days passed.
What would happen by a wedding if you counted out by the chuppah during, between Mincha and Maariv, the wrong date?
If you count, what do you mean?
So in other words, it's September 1st, and you say it's September 2nd.
On the ksuba?
Right. I'm saying when you're reading the Kriyas HaKsuba, yeah. You actually sign it September 2nd. It's really September 1st. So it's
more, I think, the Hebrew dates that are going to be.
I'm just using for.
So I'll tell you what happened at our wedding. What we had was we signed So we signed the ksuba before Shkia. But our wedding actually went basically like you actually see at the chuppah. It starts off all sunny when we're walking down the aisle. And then as the chuppah progresses, it's twilight. It's Beit HaShemashos. And by the time the chuppah is over, the ceremony's over, it's completely dark. And I dare say it was probably Tzeis HaKochavim by then. So what we had was an interesting question. Wait, so then the date on the ksuba is not accurate because we actually got married during Beit HaShemashos as a suffix. So what we did with what the Masara Kedusha did was we performed a kinyan. Lifted a pen or a watch that established that I accepted upon myself the obligation of the ksuba even before the wedding took place. So that way it said whatever the Hebrew date was before Shkia, and it's not a lie on the ksuba because I accepted the obligations before Shkia itself. So even though we may have gone ahead and had the chuppah during Beit HaShemashos or after Tzeis, everything was okay. So that's like that's a loophole that a lot of rabbis use, because when you think about it, if a wedding's called for the Shmorgs at 6 and the wedding's at 7 during a certain time of year, it's going to be Beit HaShemashos when you finally have the chuppah.
So it doesn't nullify.
Yeah, it's an issue. Like, it would be an issue if you had the wrong date on the Shnar. So that's why they have to find these ways around it it's not really the wrong.
Get, it's sort of like a parking ticket. If you write the wrong date on a get, right?
Yeah.
It's not actually technically good, from what I recollect from learning Gittin a long time ago.
Oh, it's been a while for you also.
if it's not the appropriate date, and she can contest it. So similarly, if you got a parking ticket on September 13th, right, and it turns out it was impossible that they, because you were out of the country, that you had gotten the ticket. The ticket is obviously, you know, null and void.
Right. So, you know, it's been a while since I studied learned Maseches Gittin, but there are discussions, you know, was it a predated one? Was it postdated Gittin? There's different issues that could come up based on that. But yeah, generally we want our stars to be on the correct date. Okay. But definitely this is more of a, he's not elaborating on Gittin so much. He's elaborating more on Sphere. So over, he brought in Gittin to contrast it. Okay. One other thing, and this is going to, I think, get to the point that we were discussing before. How much time? Okay, we still have a little bit of time. Look at the first paragraph in section Gimel. Shachach lispor yom echad. Here's the opposite case. You didn't accidentally count. You accidentally forgot to count one day. So we have just a little background. We have a machlokas rishonim. This comes up in Tosfos. Whether is the mitzvah sfira that it's a separate mitzvah each and every day? Or is it a mitzvah to count all the days of Sfira, and it's like one huge mitzvah that just requires you to count every single night? So there's, and this is the question we're talking about woman's obligation. Is it one big mitzvah, and if you miss one day, then you blew it, that's it? Or is it individual mitzvahs? So that's, and that comes up, that's a question of, let's say I forget to count one night, and I continue. Do I continue counting the next night? So according to the opinion that you blew it, there technically wouldn't be an obligation to count the rest of the nights. But according to the opinion that there's an obligation, every single night is a separate mitzvah, I would need to continue counting. So what do? Suffek brachos lahakel. If I have a doubt whether I make a bracha, so what I do is, that's why I count every single night without a bracha if I forgot one night. So that's important to know going forward. Let's look inside. B'shulchan Aruch, so a tough pay test, sifches. Im shochach levarich ba'echa mehayam, ben yom rishon, ben mishar yom. Let's say you forgot to count one day, whether it was the first day, whether it was any other day. Sover mishar yom and blow bracha. So then you count the rest of the days without a bracha. Very well known halacha in Tzvir Somer. So now we're going to bring in some of the Soloveitchik big guns are coming in now. So here comes Soloveitchik's great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi, his namesake, also Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. So comes along the Beis Halevi and says, Hinei Beis Halevi, Chidei Shnegam Misha Shachach Yom Echad. Let's say you forgot one day. Av She'ein Lo Levarich Al Sfiras HaYomim. Even though he should not make a blessing, he should make a bracha on those other days. Adayin Hu Yochol Levarich Al Sfiras HaShvuos. He can still make a bracha every time there's a completion of a shvua. Meaning, let's say I forgot day one. I don't make a bracha day two. I don't make a bracha day three. I don't make a bracha day four. But when I get to day seven, and I get to the first week of the Omer, I will make a bracha that night. And then I discontinue making a bracha until I get to the completion of a second week. And I discontinue until I get to the completion of a third week, so on and so forth. Why? The mavur begamar menachos, the mitzvah, the memne yome of mitzvah, the mimne shvue. Mavur b'Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham says, "The mitzvah sviras hayomim, mitzvah sviras shvuos, heim shnei mitzvos chalukos kamo tefillin shel yad or tefillin shel rosh ve'einam tulei zu bazu." You do not have, there's two separate mitzvahs: a mitzvah to count the days and there's a mitzvah to count the weeks. So even though the Shulchan Aruch says that once you forget one day, you're out for the count, you continue counting, but you can't make a bracha. According to Beis Halevi, since counting the days and counting the weeks are two separate mitzvos, you could still make a bracha on the weeks as long as you did not miss one of the weeks. That's a fascinating idea. We don't actually do that in practice, but that's what the Beis Halevi says. L'chein pasak ha-Beis Halevi v'imkein im dileg b'yom shelo nishlam bo ha-shvua nehida hefsin minyan ha-yamim. Sure, you missed out on the days. Mikol makom. You are not lost out on counting the weeks. And every time you finish a week, you can make a blessing. Now, here's another character. Here comes Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, who is Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather. So Rav Soloveitchik's father was Moshe Soloveitchik, and his grandfather was Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. He's the, like the demigod of Lemdis, so to speak. That's not too heretical. Marat Hagrach Zichron LeBrocha Hosif Al Zeh. So it's like a whole family discussion over here. So Rechaim Soloveitchik adds to the Beis Halevi. It's not only whenever you complete a week can you continue saying a bracha. So once every week you make a bracha when you complete Sefer Somer if you forgot a day. I'll go one step further. Let's say you forgot one day in the first week. What's he say? So let's say I forget day one or day two of Sefiras Omer. I can't count the rest of the week. But when I finish that week, like the Beis Halevi says, I get to seven days, one Shavua, I make a bracha. So according to the Beis Halevi, then I still can't make a bracha the rest of the second week until I complete the second week. But according to Reb Chaim, each week has a separate mitzvah. So I could actually continue making a bracha once I get to the second week. And if I got during the second week, I could continue counting during the third week as well. More, this is even more expansive than the Beis Halevi's approach. So he says, Yesh omar da mitzvah lispor shvuas hi b'chol yom v'yom. V'lo rak b'yom sh'nishlam bo ha'shua. So Rav Chaim takes a very novel approach. He says, the mitzvah of counting the weeks is not just when the weeks end. There's actually a daily obligation to count the weeks. And this makes a lot of sense when you think about it, because that's what we do. We say...
It's called shvuas.
Right. Oh, it's called shvuas. But think about it. Every night when we count the omer, we don't just say the day. We don't just say, let's say it's like 20 days in the Omer. But we then say how many weeks we're in as well. So just because we only complete a week once a week, the obligation to count the weeks is every single night. So once you get past that first week that you messed up on, when you get to week two, you can continue counting with a bracha normally as if nothing had happened. For a month, well, we don't count the months, though.
Well, you can count the month, right? Because it would be 7 weeks total. So the first day of the first month. Right?
In theory, but the Gemara that we brought from Menachos says there's a mitzvah to count the Yomi, a mitzvah, the Memne Shvue. So there's only a mitzvah to count the days and a mitzvah to count the weeks, which is based on what it says in the Torah. It's in the Psukim. Now, what you could ask is a question on Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why is the Kadosh Baruch Hu only wants to count the days? So you don't want to go that far. out of all the questions we have on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like, this is like a more minor one, I guess. All right, very good. One last thing we're going to do. We'll end this piece and we'll go to Kuf Yud Dalid. It's the last piece we're going to look at on the sheet. This one's a short one. We have about 7 minutes left, and we'll conclude with this. So we talked a little bit about the idea of Sfira, but we're not so far, without saying the date of Sfira right now, we're not so far away from Lag BaOmer itself.
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday. Okay, good. So hopefully this is timely. We're going to learn a little bit about Lag BaOmer, and Lag BaOmer, of course, is a very popular day because for those of us, so everyone counts 33 days. The question is when you start counting those 33 days. So the minhag that I have, and I presume all of you have, is that we start at Pesach, and then we count our 33 days until Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day in the Omer. And once we reach 33 days, then we start partying and having fun again. It's a very funny thing, actually, because growing up, I was very confused what the point of Sefiras Omer was. I always thought Sefiras Omer was all about Avelis and about mourning. And then you realize that has nothing to do with it on the Torah level. Maybe it has to do with the Karban Omer, it has to do with Matan Torah, but then the Avelis stuff only came in later. So it's funny that when people think Sefiras Omer, they're not thinking about what it says in the Torah. They're really just thinking about the story of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim and how they died because they wore Noe Kavod to each other. But really, that's not the essential part of what the Omer is all about. Anyway, but that's what we're going to get into. So let's look inside. In the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, the Rama writes, "Mistaber b'yom lama gimel." So when it comes to Sfardim waited until lama dalid, till 34. Ashkenazim on day 33 already were able to the Avelus, the mourning period, is lifted, and you go ahead and shower. Hopefully you're showering until then. I was gonna say shave also, but a lot of us actually. I'll tell you my mitzvah. I don't shave on Yom HaTzimut, but I do shave Erev Shabbos. So it's attributed to Rav Soloveitchik. I haven't found it inside, but Rav Lichtenstein also holds of it from what Rabbi Weissman tells me, that people will shave, not take a haircut, but will shave Erev Shabbos, not because it's a kula, a leniency in the morning of the Omer period, but it's a stringency, it's a chumra in Kavod Shabbos. So if you want to be a very machmir, like a very frum yid, you want to be a very devout Jew, you'll actually shave Erev Shabbos just to show how dedicated you are to Kavod Shabbos. It's a similar idea that if you ever study Hilchos Nida, there's this svar that comes up sometimes that it's not a kula in Hilchos Nida, it's a chumra in Hilchos Oda. So basically you could be lenient in certain areas of Nida and permit the man and woman to be together because it's a chumra in the midst of Ona where a man is obligated to pleasure his wife. So it's like a similar kind of svar over there. I'm not being a liberal. I'm actually being very machmir. So it's the same svar over here. So the Ramah, back to our regular presentation, the Ramah says, Mestaber b'yom lamagimel, you can take a haircut on the 33rd day. However, you're not allowed to start in the evening. You have to wait till the daytime of Lag BaOmer. So you can't do it during the evening beforehand, but you have to wait till the day itself to take a haircut. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes an opinion that says that shemekilim listaper gami be'erev. There is some achorim that say that you could actually start taking a haircut even in the evening as well. I don't know what barbershops are open then, but in theory, there are achron that believe that you could start taking a haircut in the evening of Lag BaOmer. The question is, look, I know it's a very short time period, but there seems to be, what's the principle behind this? What's the shoresh hamachlokas? Well, according to one opinion, we just couldn't wait till the daytime. Why would we wait till the daytime? Like, if Lag BaOmer is Lag BaOmer, and Lag BaOmer is the end of Sfira, end of the Avelus during Sfira for us, why can't I take a haircut during the night? And if I can't take a haircut during the night, why am I allowed to take it during the daytime as well? Maybe I should have to wait till Lamed Daled, like some Sfardim will. So Rav Soloveitchik says as follows. V'nir levar d'yisod machlo kosam as im heter hatisporis b'yom lama gimel b'omer, v'mishum mixes yom kukulo. One way to explain what's going on here about why I'm able to take a haircut on Lag BaOmer is because it mixes Hayom Kukulo. So this comes up in Avelus. For anyone who had to sit Shiva, you may recall that on the seventh day, already in the morning, you're able to get up from Shiva. Shiva is 7 days. So there's a principle called Mixes Hayom Kukulo that as long as you practice Avelus, you practice the morning for a little bit, for Mixes Hayom, for a little bit of the day, it's as if you did it the entire day and you could get up from Avelus on the seventh day itself. As long as you are Noheg, you practice a little bit of Avelus in the morning. So that's a similar svar over here. Maybe what's going on here is in the evening, so in the evening would be too early. The evening would be too early for Mixa Yom Kukulo. Similarly, we see in morning, in Shiva as well. But during the daytime, you would be able to get a haircut because it Mixa Yom Kukulo. So what Rav Soloveitchik wants to say is that the thinking of the Ramah, the svar of the Ramah, is that I can't take a haircut during the night because Lag BaOmer is still really a day of Avelus. In essence, Lag BaOmer is a day of Avelus still. However, Mixas HaYom Kukulo permits me that if I practice a little bit of Avelus during the evening and during the beginning, and during basically the beginning of the day, then during the daytime, I'm able to take a haircut. Similar to, yeah.
So with Shiva, though, it's not a little bit of Avelus, it's all the Avelus. You do everything, for instance, there's no change in your activity until you get up.
Right.
Right? The night of Lag BaOmer, isn't that when the bonfires are?
So you're saying is...
And don't people play music? In other words, they may not get haircuts, but they've given over, there's no more of this.
So that's a good point. So I think it's because the music isn't as clear cut of a halakha when it comes to Davias and Sfiras Omer. I need to check up. I think music may have been later accepted. It's not as like Tisporas haircut is like a very clear institution, a very clear prohibition. But I would agree. I'm not a huge fan of the bonfires. I kind of like when I was studying some like medieval history, and you see these witches' Sabbaths, and they're dancing around the fire. And I was like, hey, that looks like what we do in Lag BaOmer. I'm like, oh shoot, that's where we got it from.
Bonfire during the daytime.
What is that?
What's the point of a bonfire during the daytime?
I don't know what the point of a bonfire during the nighttime is either.
So Lag BaOmer this year is on a Thursday. Can you go to our house on a Wednesday night?
Can you go to?
After Shkia.
Go to Chasna on Wednesday night for Shkia.
After
Shkia. That's a really good question.
We're Mater for a Simcha.
So if it's like something that...
The caterers that make do a house there, if they have after Shkia, they sign a ketubah and everything, which is late.
Right, but he's saying also that during Sfiras HaOmer, there's like certain smachos and there's mitzvos that people permit. So we'd have to check that one out. But I definitely know let's say making a siyum also during Sfiras HaOmer, then it's permitted. People say then it's permitted to dance also. So there's discussion in that area as well. But this is just one school of thought when it comes to mixa yom kikulo. However, the other opinion that he says. Is Avil? Let's look at the next column.
I wouldn't cater if I was it.
What?
I'm kidding.
So the next column is where you see the base circled. Avil im yisoda heter hu ki kibalnu es yom lag baomer liyantif lechor pashita heter hu mishehitchel yom lag baomer mi ba'erev. There's another opinion that lag baomer is not like what we said. It's not, in essence, a day of Avelis, and we just happen to apply Mixi Yom Kikulo, and therefore, Tisporus is only usher during the evening, but not during the day. Rather, Lag BaOmer is intrinsically a yuntif. It's intrinsically a holiday. And if it's intrinsically a holiday, that means the full 24 hours of Lag BaOmer, it's permitted to do things like cutting your hair. So the machlokus, Rav Soloveitchik wants to explain the machlokus here between the achronim that are quoted in the Mishnah Berurah and the Ramah, whether you could start in the evening or only start during the day, is how you view Lag BaOmer. Is Lag BaOmer really a day of avelos and just mixing Yom Kikulo is matir us to take a haircut during the day? Or is the entire the entire Lag BaOmer really a yuntif? And if the day is intrinsically a yuntif, then there's no reason that you can't start festivities in the evening as well, as the Achronim point out. That's the machlokes where Soloveitchik frames here between Ramah and Achronim quoted in Mishnah Berurah. And then he brings a proof to tell us that it's a yuntif. Remember before how we said everyone counts 33 days? So if you count your 33 days later, Vraya Brulase, last paragraph in Simak, on page Resh Mem Hei, Tabasif Gimel Maisi Ramah, there's some who count their 33 days from the second day of Iyar until the holiday of Shavuos. So what happens is then Lag BaOmer is in middle of those 33 days that you're counting from the beginning of Iyar, second day of Iyar, to Shavuos. Va'afilu hachi, what do these people do? Gam heim noagim heter tisporus b'lam gimel b'omer. Even they we'll take a haircut on Lag BaOmer. How can you apply Mixi Yom Kikulo? You can't apply Mixi Yom Kikulo here. Mixi Yom Kikulo only makes sense. Like in Shiva, it's last day of Shiva. So the last day, we can say Mixi Yom Kikulo. Mixi Yom Kikulo can't work in middle of a period. It only works at the end of a period. So Lag BaOmer is smack in middle of the 33 days that these people are counting, that these people are being Noeg Avelos. So this is a great litmus test. So if it's a Mixi Yom Kikulo, then Lag BaOmer should be completely usher for them to do anything, because you can't apply Mixi Yom Kikulo to Lag BaOmer if it's in middle of your 33 days, not at the end of your 33 days like us. But since they seem to treat Lag BaOmer as a holiday as a day that you could take a haircut nonetheless. It must mean that Lag BaOmer, it's not pshat that it's a day of Avelos just as mixed to Yom Kikulo, but it's actually a day of Yontif, and it's a day of full celebration. And this could enlighten us, who count our 33 days until Lag BaOmer, that this would support the opinion, these people at least would support the opinion, that Lag BaOmer is a Yontif, and you should be able to already take a haircut in the evening as well, according to this school of thought.
Where does that come from, counting from the second of Iyar?
It's in the Shulchan Aruch. Tav Tzadi Gimel, it's an opinion that's quoted there in the Ramah. The idea is, the Mishnah Berurah points out, that everyone, lace him on the plug, everyone counts 33 days. The question is, how you go about counting 33 days. So it's actually very smart of us, because we start counting during Chol Moed. We have Chol Moed in there, so we're not getting haircuts on Chol Moed anyway. So we're actually being very economical with our time.
But it's like arbitrary? In other words, it's not historical when to count?
So I think there's like different... I haven't looked into this, but there seems to be different opinions. Maybe it's based on when people thought Rabbi Akiva students died. I have to look into that. But the Mishnah Berurah on that siman gives an overview of it. Yeah.
Can you switch from one year to next year when you count, start counting Sfira?
That's a great question. So that's less of a...
33 days. I don't know. Instead of starting a
Pesach,
start a Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
33 days.
So the Mishnah Berurah says this is the only minhag that you can change year to year.
Yes.
Right. Very good. So this is it's more of like
if
a hill.
You hold like the Mishnah Berurah. I'm not saying you hold like the Rambam, but if you hold like the Rambam.
The Mishnah Berurah is a pretty reliable person. I'd rely on it. He's a good guy. So anyway, we'll conclude with this. We started a little late, but we're basically at our time, so we'll end here. So if anyone wants to talk afterwards and give suggestions on how to make the shiur better, I'm open to it. Thank you all for coming, and I hope you enjoy your Lag BaOmer.